together. 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. Let's pray. Dear God, bless the reading of your word this morning, and as we enter into this tremendously clear warning to all of us and to the church, just empty myself before you, dear God. Pray that you would remove the messenger again so that the Holy Spirit can do the work of teaching and encouraging and making the applications, dear God, convicting when necessary. All for your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Last time we were here, we introduced this in verses 18 and 19. The reality is that false teachers, John calls them antichrists, they will always be with us. Every town, every real church, they spread messages about Christ and the gospel that are not true, sometimes half-truths. And those deceptions cause people to ultimately defect from the real body of Christ. It's an age-old problem. It's the problem of this context. It's a real problem then and now. Verse 19. Look at it with me. They went out from us, but they were not really of us, for if they had been of us, they would have remained with us, but they went out so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. And then John gives us his purpose for this paragraph. 18 through 27 is the paragraph, but the purpose is clear. Look at verse 26. We don't have to guess, we don't have to wonder why John is writing this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Try not to miss this. I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. It was the burden of the Apostle John. It was the burden of all the other apostles. That real people in real churches would be exposed to, take in, and listen to messages from those who are not of God, those who are trying to deceive God's people. And to be honest with you, before we go any further, this is the burden of every true pastor today. This is the weight that we carry around on our shoulders, that people, precious people, would listen to, be exposed to, be moved by messages from those who are not of God. And for whatever reason, perhaps it's simply the pride of man, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Perhaps it is just the heart of man. But for whatever reason, maybe it is pride, maybe it is novelty. But churches since the beginning, I mean, we're talking about churches that had the apostles as their pastors. Churches have always been places where people often lack discernment. And that's a word that I use so often, and it's a word that we just need to be reminded of. Churches are places where people often lack real discernment when it comes to what they allow into their ears, into their mind, into their hearts. As the age of the apostles was coming to culmination. And remember, that's an important little detail here. We're at the end of the first century here. We're in the 90s. John is about to pass from the earth. He's writing this very late in life. And he is the last living apostle. It is John. We know that. That is certain. And so the age of apostolic, we call it in the ministry, apostolic authority. As the age of apostolic authority, what is an apostle? An apostle is a one who saw the risen Christ. I have not seen the risen Christ. I am not an apostle. There are no apostles alive today. This new thing in the charismatic movement, the apostolic Christian church, and these men all claim to be apostles. That is deception. That is a blatant lie. An apostle is one who saw the risen Christ and was commissioned by Christ and given authority that is uniquely given to the apostles by virtue of the Holy Spirit giving them direct revelation and with that great authority in the church. The apostolic age now is coming to conclusion as we read this letter. And as the age of the apostles is coming to its culmination, its conclusion, the church is now going to face a vacuum of leadership. It will face an assault on the person of Christ, an assault that has not relented since the first century. And so, a main theme of this section, if you like to put this into principles, is that the battle for souls is always the battle for the mind. What you listen to, who you listen to regarding the true nature of God, of man, of Christ, of redemption, of the cross, the resurrection. And in every era, in every age, in every time, in every man's ministry who is a true pastor today, we have to live through casualties. We see it all around us. People who leave the church, the truth, for something else. And we learned last week in verse 19, ultimately when people leave the truth, when they leave the church and they don't come back, there's only one conclusion. They do not know God in a real way in the heart. And perseverance in the faith, in the truth, in the church is a mark of saving faith. And so through this section, John is using what? Comparison and contrast. Those who know the truth, those who do not know the truth. Look at verse 20. Let me unfold this for you. It's fascinating. Look at verse 20. He starts with those who know the truth. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. The anointing of the Holy One in verse 20 is simply the Holy Spirit. Try to make a note of that if you're confused about the anointing in verse 20. It is the Holy Spirit. John is saying, Christian, you have the Holy Spirit of God. At the moment of genuine repentance and faith in Christ, you are born again and the Holy Spirit comes to indwell you. You are a new believer. You are a new creation of Christ. The Holy Spirit indwells you. Praise God. You have an anointing. The anointing is the Holy Spirit. Don't miss this. I'm going to be very clear, but I'll try to speak the truth in love this morning. Be very clear, though. False teachers and the deceived have always used the term anointing, quote unquote. It's the Greek word charisma, from which we get our English word charismatic. False teachers, deceivers, have always used the term anointing as a validation for their false, confusing, damning teaching about Christ and other things in the Word of God. The anointing at this time in John's context, the anointing in the thought process of the argument as John unfolds it here, the anointing was synonymous with these ones who came and said, we have a religious experience to tell you about. And it's still used that way this morning by false teachers everywhere. We did that documentary all of those weeks in adult Sunday school on the American Gospel, a documentary on the abusive errors of this movement where all of these men, they showed the clips of this one after another. They were saying, I'm anointed, I'm anointed, I'm anointed, I'm anointed, all of them. This is synonymous with saying, I have a religious experience that no one else have. I have revelation that no one else has. It's still used that way today. And John is using this as a play on words. He's juxtaposing error with the truth. He's juxtaposing Bible teaching with false teaching. He's comparing and contrasting the wrong use, the false use of anointing, with the proper use of this term. In other words, if all of that is confusing, I'll bring this down a whole other level. Listen, you, my precious one here today, you do not need a religious experience. You don't need a Gnostic secret gnosis knowledge that traverses the highways and byways of charismatic experiences to know and believe the truth. You don't need that. False teachers always claim to be anointed. You find someone that says on an invitation to their ministry or their website, you find someone that uses this term anointing as a validation of why they are in the ministry, and you have found a false teacher. Write that down. Don't miss it. It's an inexorable point. And if you think this is for another time or place that's not related to life, something crosses my desk on a regular basis where someone asks me about this person or that person or the other person, and they're coming and they're having this meeting and they're supposed to be anointed because it says so right on the website. They're anointed. God's true worker would never validate his ministry by saying he's anointed. God's true messenger would never come to the meeting and say, come to my meeting because I'm anointed. You are anointed. You have the Holy Spirit. And your anointing is exactly identical to my anointing. We all have the same Holy Spirit. Now, indeed, God has given pastor teachers to the church. Praise God. We have the gift of public proclamation. And God has given the gift of evangelists to the church. And they go out and they have the gift of sharing the gospel, etc. But we all have the same Holy Spirit in the body of Christ. Some people just have the gift of teaching. But no one has a greater anointing today than you do if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus. And the Bible teacher simply reads the Scripture, explains the Scripture, and applies the Scripture. The evangelist shares the message of the good news. There is no new message. There's no new revelation. There's no new ministry. There's no new model of ministry. There's no new categories of ministry. There's no ministry of healing in the church. There's no ministry of miracles in the church. There are no mediators of miracles in the church. There are no mediators of healing in the church today. When someone says they are anointed to have a ministry of healing, when they are anointed to have a ministry of miracles, they are saying to you, I am a false teacher and I'm preying on your biblical ignorance that you don't know the Scripture. They're saying my ministry preys on someone who's never read the book of 1 John and doesn't understand the anointing. The church, beloved, needs to be discerning. Teach that principle to someone. Teach people to be discerning. The church needs discernment like never before. This precious town that we live in has not been discerning regarding who it invites in the name of God, in the name of Jesus. False teachers that are invited to Ketchikan by people who are supposedly mature believers in the body of Christ. Everyone looks to these people and thinks, these are the mature believers. Look who they invited. They're anointed. It is astounding to me. Teachers who claim to be anointed will always use subjective experiences, personal subjective call to the ministry, subjective personal revelations from God, supposed miracles, supposed healing where they were the mediator, that no one can verify any of this, and God will heal someone in His grace and answer to prayer, and they'll take credit as a mediator for that healing. It's disgraceful. And it is false. There are no ministers of healing in the church today. There are no women who travel on a website who have their picture that says they're anointed that are from God. That is false. And John is dealing with that precisely in this context, if you think I'm going off this morning. This is the context, the 1 John chapter 2. Make sure that no one deceives you. False teachers were saying, we are the anointed. Let us teach you secret knowledge about Christ, about God, about miracles, about healing. Let us teach you. You don't need a teacher with a special anointing. You have an anointing. Look at that with me. It's so powerful. You have the anointing. You have the Holy Spirit. Powerful argument John is unfolding here. Look at verse 21. Let me go further with you. I have not written to you because you don't know the truth, but because you do know the truth, and because no lie is of the truth. What does that mean? The Holy Spirit teaches Christians the truth in contrast to error. A great mark of genuine faith is when one can now discern error. And the church needs to be reminded today in this hour where everyone is right and no one is wrong, and anyone who names the name of Jesus is from God, and everyone who names the name of the Holy Spirit is anointed by God, and all of this ridiculous false validation of ministry. And every teacher and every book and every person is supposedly anointed and doing something pleasing. We need to have discernment, be reminded today. Truth and error cannot coexist. They do not coexist. Something cannot be true and false at the same time. And be discerning today. Not everyone in religion is speaking the truth. Not everyone who names the name Jesus is speaking the truth. Not every person who comes to Ketchikan who claims to be anointed is from God is of the truth. In fact, you can tell when someone uses that term. They're using it in this context that John is fulminating against. And we need to be discerning. And you can tell if someone is teaching the Word of God. You can tell. The Word of God will be read, it will be explained, and it will be applied. It will not be, the focus will not be on a miracle, it will not be on a healing, it will not be on a false charismatic notion of anointing. It will be preaching of the Word, clear, that everyone can understand. But Christian today, remember, you have the Holy Spirit. You have this, in the note in my study Bible says it so clearly, you have a guardian from deception, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your built-in lie detector. And John is reminding his readers who put their faith in Christ, the God-man, the Theanthropos, Christ the Lord, Christ the Messiah, Christ's sacrifice for sin, Christ our resurrection from the dead, our Redeemer who shed his blood, died, and was buried and rose again. He's reminding the believers they didn't need to listen to the self-anointed teachers. Remember, no lies of the truth, verse 21. And then John deals with this verse 22 specifically. The problem specifically in the first century and through the first centuries of the church is verse 22. Look at it. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist. The one who denies the Father and the Son. And you have this phrase that theologians often use, the inseparable divine equality of the Father and the Son. That's a really important phrase, the inseparable divine equality of the Father and the Son, praise God. False teachers without deviation, you don't need me to tell you this, without deviation they try to confuse people about the Theanthropos, the God-man. Every one of these ones who comes to the door with the white shirt and the two Bibles, they're trying to confuse you about the Theanthropos, the God-man. Jesus, fully God, fully man in the mystery of the Trinity. Son of God, Son of man in the mystery of the Trinity. This is where deception starts. All over, people misunderstand the Godhead in religion, the world religions, in the cults, in the charismatic movement where the Holy Spirit is improperly brought forth. So many false teachers today have an improper view of the atonement. Why did Christ die? What was the purpose of the cross? So many people today take that and they extrapolate that and they give a false message on the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, and the purpose of the Holy Spirit. personal subjective opinions, experiences, unique special views of Christ or the Holy Spirit or one's own experiences should never be listened to when someone claims to be speaking for God. Someone saying they are anointed, that means absolutely nothing. In fact, if someone says that, you can be sure they're trying to be deceptive in some manner. John narrows his focus here to the person and work of Christ because this is where the first assaults on Christianity began. Specifically in the context, the false teachers were denying that Jesus Christ, Messiah, God, came to earth in human flesh. 2 John 7, listen, many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus coming in the flesh. This was the big issue. They couldn't imagine that God could come in a human body, for in their mind, only spirit was good and the body was evil. And so the reason why in every good Christian church there is an emphasis on the study of theology, Christology, the study of Christ, the study of God proper, is that this is the root of deception. An improper view of the Godhead leads to defections in the church. In my seminary study of 1 John, I want to share something that I was given. This is great. Quote, any denial, quote, deviation or distortion of the spiritual view of Jesus Christ, his incarnation, that he is both Son of God and Son of Man, the promised prophet, priest and king, redeemer, constitute the spirit of Antichrist, end quote. Let's close in 23 and 24 just briefly. Look at verses 23 and 24. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. As for you, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. Let's close right here. You often hear me use that phrase, the once-for-all faith delivered to the saints. Isn't that a wonderful phrase? And people will often say, every time I've ever used that phrase, the once-for-all faith delivered to the saints, someone has said, man, I really like that description of the Christian faith. But that's actually Jude 3. There's only one chapter. Jude 3, the once-for-all faith delivered to the saints. That's not an original phrase. That's in the Bible. And that's what John is alluding to here. And this goes against everything the world system is trying to say today, that everything is changing and everything is evolving for a new generation. The Christian faith, the apostolic testimony of Christ recorded in the Bible that you hold today, is not changing. It's not evolving. It's not getting better. It's not being modified to speak to a new generation. The apostolic testimony of Christ was given to the apostles. The apostles gave the apostolic testimony to their readers, those who believed. And the other New Testament letters also were now beginning to circulate at this time. And the people were believing the truth of Christ. It's what they heard from the very beginning. The first time they came into contact with apostolic preaching and teaching, it was the message of Christ. It's the very first thing they heard when they put their faith in Christ. It's what they heard as professing believers when they gathered together in the body of Christ, the church. It was from the very, very beginning. And the message of John, the last apostle, it's the same message that every single pastor should be proclaiming today. Nothing changes through the centuries. We don't deviate from the message of the apostles, the fundamental message of Christianity. And so there's always a temptation to think that someone has a new ministry model that's better or different, or someone has a new message that is new and more efficacious. But the message about Christ, the gospel, it is unchanging, for Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your children, if your children are young, by God's grace, when they are old, they will hear this exact same message if someone was preaching 1 John 50 or 60 or 70 years from now. It would be the exact same message. And the message our grandparents and great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents heard was the exact same message about Christ that we are hearing today. The message of the church has always been very simple. Preach the word, in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own lusts. 2 Timothy 4. When God's word goes forth, it exalts Christ, the gospel, the truth, the Bible, and people believe that message. And when they stay faithful to that message, they abide in God, God abides in them, and they continue on, they persevere in the faith, they persevere in the church. It is the mark of saving faith. Let's pray. Bless the reading, dear God, of your word, the proclamation of truth. We hear the passion of John in this section related to warning against those who would come as the falsely anointed. Dear God, help your precious ones to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today. And I pray for the believers that they would grasp this principle of verse 20, that they are the ones who are anointed, that they have the Holy Spirit. Dear God, let us hear the great word of this section about those perhaps who are trying to deceive someone here. These things have been written concerning those who are trying to deceive us. Let us hear the word of discernment today. And above all, dear God, we thank you for the great gift of Christ the Lord, for his perfect life and obedience to the law, his shed blood, suffering on the cross, his death, his burial, his resurrection on behalf of the sinner. We thank you for that gift, that free gift, dear God, of the open offer of grace and forgiveness, and for the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, that makes it real and that allows us to have this warning system against error. Dear God, what a great gift, the anointing from the Holy One, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we give you free reign in our hearts right now. We yield our spirit to your spirit. We confess our sins, and we pray that you would bear great fruit in this place for those who listen to these messages, that there would be real spiritual fruit, and that the Son, the Lord Jesus, would be glorified, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together as we close.